Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well.
Good.
And would like to visit with you on a subject that is in the news, barely, but it's in the news. And it has to do with Donald Trump and the neocons. Mm-hmm. We've tried to figure it out. Is he a neocon? No, probably not. Does he follow the neocon line? Sometimes.
Yeah.
And it looks like right now, on this item we're going to talk about today, he's following the neocons. And that is, it's time to send some weapons to Ukraine in national security interests. The Ukrainians are coming. The Ukrainians are coming. Of course, it has nothing. They don't even pretend that, but they always couch it in terms of national security. And that is why, because basically he has relieved the so-called hold on sending lethal weapons to Ukraine. Now, he wrote an order that we can send weapons, and the plan is to send lethal weapons to Ukraine. And he's justifying this, though he has not too infrequently said, we need to get along with Putin, and we share information, and CIA talks to him. And he's said good things about policy with Russia during the campaign. But he says it's all Russia's fault. And they're too confrontational, and they bring it on themselves. And that's why we have to capitulate and satisfy the military-industrial complex, maybe satisfy the hawks, too. But maybe he thinks he can do everything and never get us into any trouble. We've warned about trouble for a year now since he's been president, and there's a lot of trouble out there. But you'd have to say, well, he hasn't started the big one yet, but that is one thing we're trying to prevent.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that was passed in the Ukraine Freedom Support Act of 2014. Of course, whenever he sees freedom support or anything like that, it always means war. Like, remember the Iraq Freedom
Yeah.
Act in the late 90s. But this is where Congress authorized the sale of lethal weapons to Ukraine in the midst of the crisis. But I never thought I'd say this, but Obama was smart enough to not move ahead with sending the lethal weapons because I think he understood the level of tension with Russia was very, very high, and so he held back. And as a candidate, if you remember, candidate Trump was pretty solid on the Ukraine-Russia situation. He said, look, Russia's not going in there. You guys stop being so excited. We can handle this. No big deal. Now, all of a sudden, what he's done today is he's approved the sale of sniper systems. They wanted a lot more. The neocons want a lot more. But this is about a $41.5 million system that we're going to go ahead and sell to them, meaning we give them money, they give it back to us, and they get weapons. But this is the beginning, and as you suggested, the neocons are not going to be satisfied with this.
Yeah, you know, it might be that Trump does lean in our direction because he talked that way. But here comes up that he is going back in the other directions, and he's yielding to the pressure from the neocons. But it's not just, a partisan thing, because this authorization in 14, they set it up. It was passed not by a Republican, not by the Democrat. I'm sure it was a bipartisan strong vote, and they some people are very frustrated. It hasn't happened since then. But it's always, to confront somebody, and they're going to attack, and yet a lot of people have forgotten, the propagandists have won this and the military-industrial complex have won this because the majority of the American people still think there's dangerous people over there, and Russia still has nuclear weapons. So they get talked into this, and it's better we deal with them over there and contain them on their borders than waiting till they expand their country and spread themselves over Europe. So they're claiming that they can send these weapons there and take care of this mess. But I think back about, where did this mess come from?
Yeah.
People need to understand how the mess was created before they start sorting out the pros and cons of tinkering with it. Yeah, this is serious, but in a way it's tinkering, compared to a declaration of war. But what we fear is it would escalate. But I came across an article that we talked about a few years ago when this was started. And that was the title in Consortium News said, the mess that Nolan made.
Yes.
And you recall that conversation, I'm sure, very vividly.
Victoria Nuland, of course, she was the Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eurasia. And she's the one that was caught on the phone, not only being part of the coup, but planning out what would happen afterwards. And unfortunately, we have in Wes Mitchell, who takes her position in the Trump administration, someone who shares her views almost to a T. So the personnel is the policy in many ways, and I suspect he had a hand in this. But as you suggested, let's go back to what happened in Ukraine. It's very simple. This is not controversial. The Ukrainian people, by a narrow margin, elected Yanukovych as the president. Right. In eastern Ukraine, where the vast majority of people speak Russian and consider themselves ethnic Russians, 90-some percent in the further east part, they voted for Yanukovych in those proportions, 90, 95% in some parts. So the U.S. gets involved with overthrowing this government because they didn't think it was pro-EU enough. And so the people in the east that voted for Yanukovych said, hold on a minute, you overthrew the president that we elected by vast majority. We don't want to be part of this new government you're putting in power. It's a pretty obvious thing. The U.S. was behind it. Victoria Nuland said the U.S. is behind it. She outlined it. She even went on a speaking tour and bragged that we spent $5 billion on regime change in Ukraine. So this is, should not be up for debate because it's an absolute fact.
Well, the other side comes back with the notion, yes, but Russia came in and invaded and took over Crimea. And of course, you have to look at that history as well. Crimea for many, many years was part of Russia. And then this confrontation and the takeover by a coup made it so that they were definitely more pro-Russian and I think had a referendum. And they voted, you know, to join Russia. But they paint it as Russia invaded them and took it over, which is not true. Now, I'm sure there's going to be arguments on both sides that everything that Russia did wasn't perfect. But the thing that we need to deal with is how necessary is it for the American people to be dealing with this on a day-to-day basis? It costs a lot of money, and it also precipitates these problems, and it's not going to settle things. This confrontation is liable to accelerate because the neocons are already saying, yeah, this is good, but this is just a little bit. We want them really send them. These are so-called defensive weapons, and we want them to send some big stuff over there. And they would, I am convinced that the neocons would be quite satisfied with a ruthless military takeover of Eastern Ukraine. I mean, they're fighting there, and there's a lot of people dying in eastern Ukraine right now. So I'm sure the neocons in the Congress would say, send more money and send the troops. The Russians are just getting out of control. And even though at the same time, Putin does his best, we want to talk to you, and Trump wants to talk to him, they share information with the CIA, and they stop a coup, and they feel good about it. But this is escalation. It's bad. It's dangerous. And despite the debate that goes on, the pros and cons on each side, why don't we talk about the pros and cons of our involvement there? And I see zero reasons why we should be sending weapons over there or even deciding who should the president be and what they do with those borders over there. I mean, this is not 1939, but they'd like to create 1939 all over again.
And, you know, this is no secret. The president of the National Endowment for Democracy, Carl Gershman, he's been in this job forever. You know, the NED is the regime change machine. It's funded by the U.S. government. They go in there and they do overthrows. They overthrow governments. He wrote openly, I think it was in the Washington Post, before this whole thing blew up, and the article was called Ukraine is the Prize. The idea was we've got to overthrow the pro-Russian Yanukovych and bring in a pro-Western president, and then they'll be in our sphere of influence. They'll join NATO. This is an open conspiracy. This is not secret. But the people who will criticize us for saying stay out, they believe that we should be the policemen of the world. Even if the Russians were fiddling with the people next door somehow, it still doesn't rise to the level of where we need to get involved in the slightest. And the other issue of Russia invading Ukraine, we've seen a couple of years now of Russian military action in Syria. So we know what it looks like when Russia invades a country. So where is the footage of Russia invading Ukraine? I'd like to see it. You know, where is the footage?
Zero. And, you know, after this story broke, the leaders in the Senate, the Republican leaders who supported this, were interviewed. And, of course, that's when McCain made his statement. But Bob Corker, he had his statement, and he's a very important person. Yeah. He loves this stuff. he say, charge it on. And then next to the article by Corker making a quote, it said a high congressional official added a sentence, and it says, he was sort of excited about this. He says, we have crossed the Rubicon. And I thought, what is he thinking about? You know, I guess he'd like to think it's, well, it's just, you know, moving the Rubicon and the, you know, not realizing what happened when Caesar crossed the Rubicon. It meant the total destruction of the Republic. So my guess is that that is probably not what they intended to say, but nevertheless, that is going to be a consequence.
The subconsciousness of it. But McCain, of course, was thrilled yesterday. He put out a memo saying, this is great. This is something that could be written in the middle of the Cold War. At every turn, Russia has chosen war over peace in Ukraine. As long as he makes this choice, the free world should give Ukraine what it needs to fight back. The free world. Somehow, this is something, the rhetoric that you'd hear from the 60s. The free world is...
Right.
But then he also says, and this is the real thing, this is where Trump, I think, is missing the point. He's trying to please them, but they're not pleased. He said, quote, this is only a first step. And then he said, we've got to send them, because what we're sending them is the sniper rifles. He wants us to send them the javelins, which are the handheld anti-tank missiles. This is so they're not going to be satisfied with this. They're just going to get their a little bit of taste of blood in their mouths. They're going to be screaming for more. You better believe it. McCain's already saying we've got to put this $350 million of lethal aid into Ukraine. We got to give them $300 million so they can send it back to the Lockheed Martin and the military-industrial complex to buy more of our weapons. So by trying to please everyone, Trump is going to end up pleasing no one. And he'll find himself just as hated as ever because he can never rise to the level that the neocons want.
We talk about flip-flopping and a few other things, but Global Politico had a title that says Trump's Russian schizophrenia. They got into the medical diagnosis, and that means that they're all over the place. And that is a pretty good description of what he does. It is very unpredictable, and unfortunately, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the people that would like a sensible foreign policy, but it does, I guess, satisfy the people who see which way the movement is going, because it had to be canceled out, that soft talk about getting along with Russia, you know, this whole idea. And that might, you know, there's a lot of reasons for people to hate Trump, but maybe behind the scenes, the real big issue was Trump has to be stopped because he has this terrible inclination to not be hawkish enough. You know, remember, I think it might be accidental. He actually used my name about maybe Ron Paul is right about the Middle East.
Exactly.
And he made these statements that we should be involved less. But I think that that might be the big issue, but it's not talked about that much. They talk about, you know, his personality is his tweeting and in all these other things that they claim is the reason. But foreign policy is a big issue. It drives things in Washington. It's bipartisan, costs a lot of money, and they have us at the point where if you criticize it, you're unpatriotic. And I've been on receiving ends of that.
So that
is what I think is really going on. And Trump, unfortunately, is in the middle of all this and figures, well, you know, they're really hounding me and they're investigating and I better tone it down a bit. So he one day he sort of says nice things, wish we can get along with Putin. And the next day he's the cause of all the trouble
in the world,
around the world.
I think I've seen some things written about this is kind of a deep state coup because Trump threatened the gravy train. Russia is the great enemy and you've got to keep that because it keeps the dollars flowing. I think that's true. You know, Jim Jattis, who we had on the show just a few days ago, he has a good piece out today, and I think he makes a good point that's worth thinking about, is that somehow Trump is trying to be King Solomon splitting the baby, and in fact, it satisfies no one by doing that. And he makes the example, of course, this is the example because he's only going halfway with these weapons. He's only giving them the sniper rifles. But also he talks about Jerusalem. Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but all he had to do was switch the nameplates and the embassy would be there. He hasn't done that. He decertified Iran, but he didn't pull out of the Iran deal. And even on Syria, he lobbed a few missiles over there, but it wasn't a follow-up. So he tries to do these half measures, probably to gain some domestic approval at home. But it's showing an interesting pattern. I think this might be another chapter in that kind of approach.
Yeah, and it sort of fits into what generally goes on in Washington. There's always the safe middle. And if you're not in the middle, you're not working with people. You have to give in. You give up half of your beliefs. And you come together in the middle, and that is what is important. But to do that, you have to give up your beliefs totally and completely. But that's the way Washington works on the superficial surface of getting along, but the truth is there's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings, and of course that's the deep state that has tremendous power and influence. So the safe middle is sort of defined by the propagandists and the media and the politicians in leadership. I've always been under the belief that if you wanted to get ahead in leadership positions in either political party, you had to get approval. I mean, what were the odds of, even if I was the nicest guy in the world and always voted the Constitution, what would the odds have ever been that I would have been in leadership? It reminds me of a story when one of our guys that was voting together, we were voting against, all the bad stuff. And there were 6 or 8 or 10 of us. And all of a sudden, this one member started voting with the leadership. And I said, hey, where are you today? We're voting against. This is what we're doing. This is bad stuff. He says, I'm in leadership now. And I thought, well, that's what leadership is all about.
Well, that is indeed. If I can close, I just would like to tell our audience, I would like to thank you for watching. This will be one of our final shows of the year. We've got a couple planned, but we'll be on a somewhat limited schedule over the holidays. I would like to thank everyone who subscribed and watched our show over the years. If you would like to support the show and all of the projects of the Ron Paul Institute, please go to our website, ronpaulinstitute.org. It's a great time to make a year-end contribution, get all the tax benefits. We're a 501c3. Help us continue putting on the show and all the projects of the Ron Paul Institute. And thank you from both Dr. Paul and I from the bottom of our hearts for your support.
And I, too, want to thank our viewers for all the support that we have received. And we believe that our viewership is growing, and there's a lot more enthusiasm. There's a lot more need for what we're trying to do. And there's going to be plenty of battles to fight. I mean, it comes up constantly with a need to explain where we have come from and where we must go and why we can defend our positions, both on moral principles, economic principles, constitutional principles. I don't know how we can fail in winning these arguments, because I think it's so clear cut. But unfortunately, the people who promote the propaganda and promote the war and promote the spending, they are very powerful too. And people generally get their news not from this channel as much as they do from the mainstream media. And guess what? They represent, the deep state as much as anybody. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and please come back to the Liberty Report soon.